Well, thank you, Robert, for your kind words of welcome. It is indeed a privilege for me to enter into your ministry here to some extent this evening, and we trust that as we open up God's Word and as we think of this topic that has been assigned to me, that blessing will come not only for those who fit into the retirement bracket, but for those who, in the mercy of God, may reach it in the days to come. Let's begin by reading God's Word, Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and reading verses 1 to 18. Let us hear the word of the Lord. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I will proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Amen. So reads God's holy word. How to cope with retirement. Retirement means different things for different people. A man has worked in an office for over 40 years. And at the age of 66, he retires. As he leaves his work on a Friday, his friends and his colleagues wish him well. But on Monday morning, he is at a loss. He does not know what to do with himself. The routine which regulated his life for so long has disappeared. And he is somewhat dispirited. The men he worked with for so long are no longer a part of his life. And a feeling of loneliness creeps over him. Every Monday, he had set off to work with a sense of purpose. He had deadlines to meet. He had tasks to accomplish. He had goals to fulfill. neither is nothing, and his self-esteem begins to wane. Such a man needs help. What kind of counsel will he be given? Well, essentially, there are two kinds of counsel in this world. There's worldly counsel, and there's biblical counsel. What is the world to say to such a man? The world, through compelling television ads and glossy magazine articles, is saying to him, shift your focus. Concentrate on yourself and what gives you pleasure and enjoyment. Occupy your time with leisure and recreation. And as far as possible, as far as your pensions will permit, seek to live a luxurious, pleasure-filled retirement. Is that the way to cope with retirement? Is that the way to enjoy retirement? Solomon experimented for a time in that kind of lifestyle. He writes in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 and 2, I said to my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this was also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? Worldly counsel doesn't bring joy, doesn't provide satisfaction and fulfillment. For the rest of the time this evening, we will consider the biblical counsel for a retired man or person. At the outset, let me say that the word retirement doesn't occur in the Bible. A man who had a profound impact in my life was the clerk of session of the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Quinter, Kansas, where I served for 6 months many years ago. His name was Waldo McBurney. At the age of 102, Waldo was interviewed on national radio as the oldest working man in America. The presenter asked him, Mr. McBurney, have you any thoughts of retirement? To which he replied, when you can show me that word in the Bible, then I will retire. The word retirement may not be found in the Bible, but the Bible has plenty to say about how we are to spend our older years if God spares us to see them. It is important to understand what we mean by retirement. Retirement generally means in our culture the end of paid employment. And it is a comparatively new phenomenon. Until the end of the 19th century, men worked until they were forced to stop due to ill health or disability. Then, for their final days on earth, they were usually looked after by family or friends until death. Now, at the beginning of the 21st century, a healthy and lengthy retirement is a practical reality that many will experience. So what help does the Bible give? Well, there are several principles in the Bible to do with how we live our lives, and I'm going to take several of these and apply them to our older years or to this time that we spend in retirement. First of all, the principle of stewardship. The principle of stewardship. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17 speaks of being entrusted with a stewardship. And he was referring to there the trust that was placed on him to preach the gospel, something for which he would have to give an account on the day of judgment. And then Peter involves us all in stewardship as he writes in 1 Peter 4 verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. With respect to you and me, God has entrusted us with many particular gifts, many particular aspects of stewardship. I'm going to think of three with respect to retirement: time, and gifts, and money. As stewards of these things, time and gifts and money, there will be a day of accounting. God will ask us, how did you use the time that I gave you? How did you use those particular gifts that I conferred to you? How did you use the pension income that I provided for you? We will consider each in turn. The use of time. The King James Version of the Bible refers to time in Ephesians chapter 5, when it says we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Or as it is in the ESV, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. As a Christian, the challenge is given to me, whether I am 20 or 40 or 60 or 80, to make the best use of my time. In other words, in retirement, I'm not to fritter away my time sitting in an armchair with my feet up on a stool watching box sets on television. Nor am I to indulge all my summer days at the beach or on the golf course or embarking on endless Caribbean cruises. Not that there's anything wrong with beaches or golf courses or with cruises. But am I making the best use of my time? Am I redeeming the time? Paid employment may be over, but work most certainly isn't. There is a little saying which is very biblical: man is immortal until his work is done. In other words, God keeps us here on earth for a purpose. We have a job to do, with responsibilities to fulfill. So we're to make the best use of our time. But then we're to make the best use of gifts. We have a stewardship with respect to gifts. One way of glorifying God in retirement is through work. The shape that work will take will be varied and will depend very much on the gifts God has given and the energy that God has provided. Now, how we fulfill that responsibility may be helping out more in the home with household chores, or playing a greater supportive role with the grandchildren, or volunteering for work in the community, or increased involvement in church life. The Reformed Presbyterian Church has been richly blessed with men and women in their retirement years, giving invaluable service, using gifts to the glory of God, either in their own congregation, or on the missions committee, or in synods, committees, and boards, and so ensuring that church life functions efficiently and effectively. And if you're sitting here this evening or sitting at home, recognizing that you have time and gifts to give to your church, then ask your minister, ask your elders, ask your deacons, how can I be of greater service? How can I be of greater assistance in the work and witness of my congregation? All kinds of work need to be done, depending on your gifts and opportunities. Coordinating with the printer regarding tracts that are being published. Acting as postman for tract distribution. Being more frequently on the cleaning rota. visiting the lonely and the housebound, helping with children's clubs or with older young people. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But always remember, we are saved for a purpose. We are saved to serve in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so God has provided good work for us to do in our retirement. I remember often visiting a lady in Lisburn who bemoaned the fact that because she had grown frail, there was little that she could now do for her Saviour. But the same lady, each evening, now in her mid-80s, between 5 and 6 p.m., was up in her bedroom, on her knees, with her prayer diary before her, praying earnestly for my ministry, praying earnestly for the work and witness of the congregation, for our members and their families, for the theological college where I teach, its students, and then as those students went into their various congregations. Doing nothing for her Saviour. She was a prayer warrior. What an example of someone using her old age for the benefit of the kingdom of God and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Stewardship of time, stewardship of gifts, and then stewardship of money. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. For God loves a cheerful giver. Many demands are made on the young couples in the congregation. They have a mortgage to pay. They have children to feed and educate. Never mind the cost of transport and pension contributions. Whereas most retired people have the mortgage paid, the children reared, possess senior passes, and have a pension income. Such people should not be thinking of giving merely a tenth to church funds, but rather giving bountifully and generously as the Lord has prospered them. Seek to do that. The principle of stewardship with respect to time, with respect to gifts, and with respect to money. Then there is another principle that applies to retirement, the principle of self-denial. The principle of self-denial. Retired Christians have been engaged in a spiritual warfare since they were saved, since they came to trust in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. They have done battle with the world and the flesh and the devil. They have known, of course, the help of the Holy Spirit in that ongoing struggle. But retired people need to be reminded, in fact, all of us who are in the older bracket need to be reminded that the battle still rages, that the conflict is not yet over and will not be over until we pass into glory. The devil will seek to trip us up spiritually, even on the last leg of the journey. And he can make us forget the basic principle of self-denial. Jesus told his disciples on one occasion, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The devil can tempt older people to become self-absorbed, to become self-centered, thinking primarily about themselves and their comforts and their health and how other people should be visiting them and spending time with them and looking after them. Those of us who are retired must not succumb to that temptation. The principle of self-denial applies to every season of life, to whatever age or stage of life you're at. You must deny self and take up the cross and follow Jesus. The principle of stewardship, the principle of self-denial, and then thirdly, the principle of faith. The principle of faith. This is clearly implied in the words of our Saviour: deny self, take up the cross, and follow me. Follow me. The Christian life begins by following Jesus. Following him is a step of faith. The Christian believes that Jesus lived and died and rose again to save him from the penalty of his sin. He believes that Jesus lives and reigns in heaven as his prophet to teach him his word, as his priest to continually pray for him, as his king to rule and defend him, and to restrain and conquer all his and our enemies. That faith, that confidence in Jesus marks the beginning of the Christian life. But it should also be the distinguishing feature of every passing day in the believer's life. And it should be the prominent feature of the believer in his or her retirement years. Faith should enable retired Christians to face the future with a calm confidence and with a firm assurance. However, a common feature of growing older is fear. Referring to older people, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 5, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. What are the fears that can occupy the mind of believers in their retirement years, in their older years? I've listed five here. There's the fear of increasing frailty of body and mind. There's the fear of loneliness, the fear of intruders, the fear of being a burden to others, and finally, the fear of death. Well, what is it that is the great antidote to faith, to fear? It is faith. It is faith in God, and more especially, faith in the promises of God. It is appropriate to talk to our Father in heaven about our fears. And this is what the psalmist was doing in that portion of God's word that we read in Psalm 71. Verse 9, he says to his Father, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." Verse 12. "O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me." Verse 18. "So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me." And then before Psalm 71 concludes, the psalmist testifies of his assurance that God will remain faithful, that God will keep all his promises to him, that God will provide comfort and help. Verse 20, "You will revive me." Verse 21, "You will comfort me again." And so as he comes to the end of the psalm, he testifies of God's gracious help and blessing in his life. Verse 24, "My tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. You will cope well with retirement. You will cope well in your more senior years if you bring all your fears to Jesus, casting your burden on the Lord, knowing that he will sustain you. In all your fears, seek the Lord, and by faith, claim the promises of God, for that is how he allays your fears. For example, if you are possessed with fear about physical and mental frailty, turn to Isaiah 46 and verse 4. Even to your old age, I am he, and to grey hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. If you are possessed with fear of isolation, turn to Isaiah 43 and verse 5. Fear not, for I am with you. Or Proverbs 16 and verse 24. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Remember that Jesus gave his people in every age the assurance found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're possessed with fear of intruders, a very real fear for older people living alone, turn to Isaiah 41, 10 and 11. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In verse 11 of the same chapter, those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. Then if you're possessed with the fear of being a burden to others, remember the duty of others in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let us analyze this fear for a moment. What is its source? Fearing of being a burden to others. The source of that fear is pride. Sometimes described as the mother of all sins. Pride leads sinful man to think that he is capable of managing by himself. This is the primary reason why so many remain in unbelief. For they say to themselves, I don't need God. I don't need a redeemer. I can save myself. But of course, no man can. Salvation comes from the Lord. That's why Jesus came into the world, to seek and to save the lost, the perishing. And for daily life, every man is ultimately dependent on God for his existence. As Job put it with reference to God in Job 12 and verse 10, in his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. That's a verse to ponder and to reflect. In his hand, in God's hand, is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. So not for a moment is any of us independent. Never for a second can any of us manage by ourselves. God, our God, is constantly assisting us. And there will come a time in our lives, if we are spared, when God will use practical and particular and appropriate means to help us, such as providing transport to church, providing assistance with household chores, providing meals, providing help with personal needs. Your children, whom you provided for in childhood and youth, now have a primary duty of care. A primary duty of care to provide for you, to render assistance when needed. For children, the fifth commandment is always applicable. It is never abrogated. It never goes into abeyance. It never becomes redundant. Honour your father and your mother. Now, we normally think this command only applies to children in the home. At that stage, to honour parents means to obey them. But it also applies to children in middle age, when dad and mum are elderly and need increasing support. Then children honour their parents by willingly and cheerfully and sacrificially providing that support. To those here who are already elderly, don't allow sinful pride or stubborn independence to stand in the way of receiving that support. And then finally, if you are possessed with the fear of death, turn to many scriptures, but especially Psalm 23 and verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Death is something that can take us at any stage in life's journey. But as someone has put it, the young may die, but the old must die. When you reach pension age, death is looming on the nearer horizon. But the believer has no need to fear death itself, because remember, it is the doorway into glory. It is but the entrance into the paradise of God. It is to be absent, yes, from our bodies, but it is to be present with the Lord. Death, of course, is an enemy. It is the last great enemy that we must face. But in so doing, we must lay claim to the promise that we will be more than conquerors of this enemy. We will be more than conquerors through him who loved us. And nothing, absolutely nothing, not being a pensioner, not being frail, and even death itself, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The exact nature of Paul's thorn in the flesh is for us a mystery. But for Paul, it was a difficult burden to bear. He pleaded with the Lord three times to be relieved of it. But God's answer was always no. But in saying no, God gave to the apostle this assurance: my grace is sufficient for you. And that is what Paul is saying to every Christian pensioner this evening, to every believing senior citizen. He's saying it to you, and he's saying it to me. My grace, in all the circumstances of our retirement, in all the circumstances of our senior years, my grace is sufficient for you. How will you cope with retirement? You will cope. And not only cope, but continue to flourish. Not because you're resourceful, not because you're resilient, but because of the all-sufficient and ever-enabling grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, some of you may be curious as to how I am coping with retirement now that I have reached the 70 years. Well, thankfully, I didn't fit into the bracket of the imaginary retiree that I alluded to in my introduction. In work one day, with nothing to do the next day. A minister of the gospel is in a rather unique position in that many aspects of his life continues. I have sermons to preach, I have lectures to deliver, I have articles to write, I have committees to attend, I have people to visit. But there is now more time for family and friends, and I now have more time to relax and pursue things I enjoy, like reading and gardening. I'm not as fit as I once was. I don't have as much energy as I once had either. But the Lord has been very gracious to me. I enjoy good health. So far, I've escaped the virus and consider each day a blessing from the Lord. I never cease to thank God that in childhood I was planted in the house of the Lord. And I trust that by God's enabling grace, I may still bear fruit in old age. And to God be the glory. Amen.